probably.
I think you liked my writing. I used to write for the college paper.
It was fascinating. He wrote for the college paper, and he did a lot of sardonic stuff and like fake.
I would make stuff up. Is that satirical?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He would do like fake news stories. We just showed.
He was fake news before there was fake news. Derby Day.
Happy Derby.
Happy Derby, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Very dyslexic friendly event.
Yep.
I guess you could have done the empty
glass. No score and weird names. So that's good.
And 2 minutes.
So one thing we wanted to do is...
We've been talking about this
for a long time. Yeah, like actually making a book on this topic. But what's it like? I don't know what it's like. I don't think I've ever dated a dyslexic person.
No.
So,
you haven't married one.
No, I did not marry. You are the exact opposite of dyslexia. Yeah, so... what are some of the challenges that you face? Or like, I guess first, when did you realize that it was different?
One of the first things with me and you is that, and I can't remember if this has come up before, Jacob.
We've been married since 99.
Yeah. So one of the first things with me and you, and this was before we got married, because we would like take road trips and stuff, was left and right and the car does not work. And so I have to say, turn toward me or turn toward you.
Right.
And to this day, we still do that. So that was one of the very first things, that I had to adjust to.
And were you kind of like, what? Like, this is relatively elementary, right? Why does this guy not know?
You know what was interesting?
Because you didn't...
No, because kids,
he didn't
kids,
know for a while. You didn't know when you were first married, right? That he was dyslexic.
Did you?
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
To a degree?
Yeah, I learned that in my undergrad.
Did you tell her?
I told her. No, I was very secretive of it because it was still something that I didn't know if it would be bad for me to be in college with dyslexia. So I was like, because I was like a pioneer for dyslexic people. I was like, I was a secret agent.
It
was
correct me if I'm wrong. It was more till like you and I started talking. In college, that you were starting to be very open.
I started opening up.
Yep.
Yeah. And now it's like first day of class. Hey, I'm dyslexic.
Yeah. So
these are the things you're going to have to struggle with.
Right.
Yep. Anyway.
I mean, I wasn't surprised as far as because I know all those poor little kids that do this and do this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember when I was growing up, when we would do the Pledge of Allegiance every day, like everybody's looking at each other to try to remember which hand.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Never got it right.
And so. That, for those reasons, like, I wasn't surprised, but I think the bigger adjustment was for me. Just to be like, oh, not left. Mm-hmm. You know, turn toward you.
Because you had to actually think about it.
Right.
Because for you, you don't have to think about it at all.
But it was
You're just like,
for
is this
him.
Way, is this way.
It was easy for him if I said, turn toward you or turn toward me, but it was harder for me to make the adjustment.
Remember it.
I think,
And one of the reasons I do know right faster than a lot of dyslexic people is because I grew up saying the pledge in every single school that I went to. Like, that was like a standard thing.
We said it for a while. We said it in elementary school.
But it's like, if you say, go right, I'm like, that way. You know, like, it's like a step.
Yep.
You know?
I did hands behind my back during the Pledge of Allegiance. Hands, you know, like hands behind your back during the pledge, which some people do. Back then, anyways. So I'd be like, I don't know what hand to do, so I put my hands behind my back, or I just went like this. And they were like, do you have family members in the military?
Military, yeah. Like, there's all these different...
And I was like, nope.
I just want to be respectful. Like, want to be respectful.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this. The same thing with the... this is a little different, the sign of the cross. If you grow up Catholic, and you go boom, 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 sometimes I'd be like boom, boom, boom.
Oh.
And that's like apparently relatively...
satanic or something?
Yeah.
Okay. But I would non-discriminately just go right hand, left hand... Like, I didn't think about it, right?
Do both hands?
You know, so, I mean...
Head, shoulders, knees, and
toes. Yeah, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, the Catholic way, right?
Do it behind your back.
Yeah, do it behind my back. write it like that. Yeah.
If you can do that, skills.
Exactly.
Behind your back.
Yeah, right, so you guys.
Yeah,
we all do the directions in the car.
Think about, not so much directions in the car... That one doesn't come up. There was a stint of needing to tell him when the light turned green that got pretty notorious. But it was more as we've been kind of in the housing market, not so much anymore, that when I was looking at things, I could read the map and know, okay, I know exactly what these streets are. Like, this
is a great spot,
this is not a good spot. And it was all the same to him.
So I would show her a house and she would be like, that's in, I don't want to trashy neighborhood. Yeah. She was like, that's in X neighborhood. And I was like, oh, like, that's not good. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that. That didn't mean anything to me.
Because you can contextualize with the street names.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yeah. And I was like, that means... Well, she goes, you know that's by blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that was anywhere near... Like, I don't think... The only places I know are, like, the major areas.
Yeah. Or when we first started dating, if it was like, hey, let's go meet at this place, it's on, like, the corner of, like, Rootlinger and Oak. And you'd be like, okay. Yeah.
I'd be like, tell me. Sure. Tell me where that is. Yeah, well, and another thing, too, is, like, I'm much better at left and rights memorization just because of the stuff I went through.
You went through a lot of training, right?
Like,
yeah.
I can do... Like, I can remember phone numbers. Yeah. I can do phone numbers up to, like, 11 digits because I did a specific class for it.
Sure.
Right? So there wasn't really that sort of stuff. It was more mental, like, an overall mental thing of, like, conceptually understanding.
Loved, I mean, pretty early on, you sent me, like, emails or, I don't know, things that you had been writing. Fairly early on, you started your MBA, so it was helping with a lot of the essays and stuff. And
you were like, this guy's in his MBA program.
it was so much fun because I would I would know what you were trying to say, but beyond the grammar, like get rid of grammar.
I'm not a bad writer.
You would would add so many words. It was a lot of like Michael Scott improvising a sentence, like, going on where you knew you wanted to say that something was bad, and it would start out with, like, this is a faulty theory because it doesn't work the way you want it to, and it doesn't work the way you want it to because it didn't work, and therefore it is bad.
Something that really, to be fair, though, something that really screwed up my writing is I took a science writing class in college, and science writing is all about the sun is a sphere. Okay, what is a sphere? A sphere is blah, blah, blah. Why is it a sphere? Because it has these dimensions. Like, my science writing class was all about, like, a waterfall type of writing. And it really screwed up my writing. Because it's incredibly descriptive. Like, it's... Don't make any assumptions that people know what anything is.
And so he was the opposite. So, like... And that was also really early on.
Yeah.
When we were in college... You know, we had some of the same professors in classes. And so if we had one of those essay tests and he gets it back and he didn't do well, and I'm like, well, you didn't say this, this, and this. He's like, but I know that. And he's like,
it was obvious.
And the professor knows that. It's obvious. I'm like, but you've got to treat the professor like he's stupid. Yeah. I mean, and he's not.
Like, you're like, the professor totally knows that. He knows that. Yeah.
And so, like, he would just skip so many steps in his explanations, exactly opposite of science writing. And to an extent...
And that's what I would do if it wasn't for that science
writing class. What I ended up doing for those classes is not studying.
And then he did.
Because then I had to, like, put words on the paper, and I had to explain everything because I'm trying to fill up the page, you know? And I would get A's.
Yeah, it makes a huge
difference. And I was like, I'm not making the huge conclusions that I wanted to make.
Right.
But I'm getting an A.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's what they want.
That's what you want. That's what I'll give you. I mean, I could give you something else if you just work with me.
So, how was that for you being just an incredibly analytical type person?
How do you mean? I mean, he...
So, like, very, you know, grammar distinguished, very... organized, right? Like, was that just a weird partner to have at the beginning, or did you never really?
I think you liked my writing. I used to write for the college paper.
It was fascinating. He wrote for the college paper, and he did a lot of sardonic stuff and like fake.
I would make stuff up. Is that satirical? What is hilarious?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He would do like fake news stories. We just showed.
he was fake news before there was fake news.
No, we just showed our kids one, and he did an April 1st story that they were going to offer a firefighting course, and there happened to be a fire truck one day, and one of the professors was in a picture, and so he was like, and he's gonna, you know,
totally made it up.
Yeah, and then after it came out that it wasn't true, like, there were people that were genuinely, like, upset because they wanted to take this class.
Yeah! That's awesome.
That was April Fool's, but I had a column where I could say anything I wanted to.
So my point is, I think I was just fascinated with the differences, you know?
Yeah.
And he's artistic, and just does a, like, you know, I can write and draw and do, you know, but
yeah,
not with the ingenuity that he has.
Right.
And so that, you know, that sort of thing was just fascinating to me. Yeah.
And I think for me, and I'm curious what you would say, like, I was just, it's so different because I was just so public with my dyslexia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a mystery. I was like, this is how my brain works. This is who I am. Like,
well, and it defined your whole career path then.
Right.
Too. Was your big thing are faces and people and conversation.
Yep.
And then you just became the ultimate conversationalist and found the right job for it.
Yeah. And so, like, I just fit very much into where I needed to be. And it's just a, I didn't have a huge amount of, after college, didn't have a huge amount of struggle or exploratory time for, like, what my position and career should be. I just was very fortunate.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of, like, oh, these people don't get me. These people don't understand, like, this is my skill set.
Mm-hmm.
I went right into the career where that is your skill set, and I was the best at it.
Right.
In the whole company.
Yeah. And then they basically said, Jacob, please don't send company-wide emails with someone reading it.
Yeah, I think I told you about that.
Like,
yeah, and my boss.
Job.
Yeah, that came up on a episode.
Yeah, and my boss, who is my boss to this day, who is a phenomenal mentor, was completely understanding of what my barriers were, and was like, "Don't worry about those.
Just let me check."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me look at that, and you do this. You do your thing, because you do it better than 90% of the people, right? So I will deal with the other stuff.
Right.
And since then, in my new role, which you have to do more analytical, you have to send out more professionalized content, whatever that might be, right? It's just you have to figure out a way to deal with that. But he still totally understands that position that I'm in, and I'm just incredibly lucky to be in a place that's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, I still check every, like, whether it's a social media post or email. Not like, every single email.
I just want you to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I have people on my team that I send them, like, if I send something out, like, with the, I won't say her name, the person that's on my team, I'll send stuff to Bridget, and I'll send someone that on our team that, be like, hey, can you just look at this real quick? If it's not urgent, can you look at this real quick before I send it?
And I think for me, like, being a reporter for 2 years without spell check,
it helps,
like,
they didn't
have spell check.
So I looked up every word, and I could spell out better.
Yeah,
you
had the dictionary right on the desk.
I had it. I was good at it, you know.
Do you think it's done anything, like, socially that you guys have noticed? Like, is it different? Like, is there anything different in his personality or, her, you know, that you guys had where you're like, oh, he approaches this type of conversation or social environment differently because of the way he thinks?
We're very different in the way we process information. I think that's an asset as a team. You know, like, we can just approach things very differently. I know for, like, one of the frustrations is I'm really bad at budgeting. Like, I'm really bad at it. I'm like, let's just go. Like, who cares? And we figure it out.
What's the matter?
You know, numbers.
I'm more like that than I would care to.
Yeah.
Being a business person, I'm more like that.
And so I'm trying to get Christy more involved in that decision-making process. Like, I'm showing you the checking account and the savings account.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much we have in retirement. And because, like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, right.
Like, even when we're in the grocery store and I'm like, I have a coupon for this, I have a coupon for this. And then, you know, you push the button that you're done at the self-checkout, and, like,
it goes
for, like, you know, almost 30 seconds, all the coupons are coming off, and he's like, oh, and he gets all excited.
Yeah,
I love it. I totally understand, like, not spending as much is good, but I don't know how to do that.
But also, and because we're talking about numbers, that's something, and to do the flip side, right, like, when we met, how did we adjust? Well, still to this day, one thing that I have to just remind myself to be patient about is that you'll ask me probably 5 times a day what time a meeting is, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, even about coming here. And then, like, even the kids don't get it still, you know? The other day, I ran to take Hannah to work, and she was like, but I just told him that I had to be there at 3 and not 3:30, and why isn't he back? And I'm like, when he left, he told me you had to be there at 3:30. You know?
Yep. And that's
and it seems like I don't care. You know,
right,
that's
the hard thing.
Like, it's like I really do care.
That's got to be so strange.
It's hard.
We've talked about that with you guys with children. That's got to be so strange, too, of, like, your father is dyslexic, like, thinks about things differently than other people do, and it's not a a care thing
right.
at all. It's not yeah. associated with that in any way.
And I said that day in the car. I was like, numbers mean nothing to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just something that I've gotten used to over the years. I know they have
meaning, but I don't get it. But I know it's important.
Yeah.
Kind of like shades of red, right? Well, I can't yeah. see. Or like I was at Home Depot and they were like, get a turquoise spray paint. And I'm like, hey, lady, which one's turquoise? I know yeah, it's like in think? This area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's in the spectrum.
This row.
I would totally say that.
Totally types of blues.
Yep.
But one of them's going to be turquoise.
Because usually you take me with you to
get yeah, yeah. And she's like, that one, and that one. I was like, great. Take a photo, send it to them.
Yeah, which one of you these want? Three?
So I'm not being a total moron and yep. sending like all the blues, you know? Like, they look like a turquoise to me. It's like that with numbers. Like, I know I can get kind of in the ballpark.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to spend $5,000 for bacon. You know, I right. know that.
I do that same thing. I end up a lot of times in budgeting, I do everything to the dollar because I can't do any cents, right? Oh, and so I always yeah, end always up,
round up
over yeah. budgeting yeah. for things where I'm like, oh, I thought that was going to be this much. I always do over because I know how my brain works. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I thought that was going to be $1,000 and it was only $700. Right, whatever that right. difference is. And
I do that too.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I do it with Bridget a lot where I'm like, oh, I thought that was going to be this much. But I know what the max spend is. I'm like, I'm not going to spend more than this.
Right.
And then Bridget's usually like, it's not going to be anywhere close to that. What are you talking about? Like, it's not, what do you mean you're not? Yeah, good. I'm glad you're not going to spend $1,000 on bacon.
Yes.
That's a good budget that
yes,
you have.
I like that.
Yeah. Anything else that you think of?
I mean, not so much off the top of my head. I love reading the board on the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Because so that one's very shorthand.
Shorthand, so write them down.
Where spelling really is already faulty at times.
And then I also don't care. Like, I'm yeah. also not trying to spell anything right because exactly. it's my marker board on my fridge.
Right. So like, do you like look at something and go like, I have no idea what yes. that. Yeah, I do yeah, that all the time. Yeah. Like, I write a note for me on the whiteboard and yep. I'm like.
It works if you just say it out loud. A little bit. Like, just pronounce each individual letter out loud and then and fairly quickly, and then you'll get what it is. It's kind of like the emoji game.
I had to write on the marker board for work for some. I didn't have to, but I needed to try to explain something to the team or the site that I was at.
I don't like writing in public.
And I don't either. And so I just...
I'll draw.
Purposefully lined words. That's what I call it, yeah. right? I put three letters, and then I line it. And they're like, oh, he wasn't even trying to write it the right way. He just... He's doing shorthand.
Right.
But to me, I'm like, I don't know how to spell it.
Right.
I don't know how to spell it. I can't do it in front of all these people, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
The other thing is to write really sloppy.
Yeah, basically what you're doing. You're
writing
like,
PhD kind
of. Yeah, you're like, that's what I'm trying. And then you read it. You're like, I'm saying that this. And sometimes, this is what my favorite thing is. Sometimes when I come back the next week or whatever it might be, the team has erased it and written what I was saying. Right, so that they understood it. Right, and it's the same thing, and I'm like, that's perfect.
It's no longer Canaanite writing.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I'm like, that happens to me a lot because, like, I'm a big. We have a marker board at every site of this project that we're doing to show the team stuff. We just have a marker board. It's on our ordering list for when we open this project. And I love that we have marker board because I can just. That's the way to teach. Right?
Yeah.
You can go there and explain things to people really easily, and then they'll go. While I'm there or afterward when I come back is they'll go and put it in their terms.
Yeah.
And that shows them the space. Like, here's your space to creatively understand
mm-hmm.
how you should do this. And it's cool too because, like, a lot of what we do, not to get into too much detail, a lot of what we do is shuttling. So we're going and picking up a vehicle, we're bringing it back, we're doing maintenance to it, and then we're bringing it back, which is relatively complicated. And so I have them write out their schedule on the marker board so that they can plan for each shuttle. And it's cool to go to these sites and understand, like, oh, they found their own way
yeah.
for this team's brain to understand how they should pick up and drop off. Now, they have a digital thing that tells them when the customer is expecting stuff, right? But they can still have their own creativity on this marker board and showing them that space of, like, this is why this is here, this tool is here, so that you can write your brain out on the marker board.
Right.
And I love that as a dyslexic person because that's the only way I can do. I told Britt, we have three marker boards. I told her, I was like, we need to get another
one. I love my marker
board. I was like, we need another one, a really big one, to do more stuff. Like, I need to explain more things.
I have, like, five apps.
Great about the marker board in your home, and that, like, everything's spelled wrong, is that you're not afraid to do that there.
Yep.
Because y'all have created a safe space, right?
Mm. Well,
and it's the same.
She's pretty mean, but yeah.
I mean, I would say it's the same with Sean, like, around the house, notes and stuff. Like, whether we're leaving them to each other or he's just writing them to himself, they're, like, all spelled wrong.
Yep.
But you're going to put a lot more effort into that sort of thing if you're taking notes during a TED meeting at Bellarmine, you know? And so, like, the safe spaces we create allow us to, you know, brain dump in ways.
I love that.
And I think it's
so
fun, misspelling words. I don't know how to spell
words.
Well,
you and I said this from the very first episode of, like, we don't actually care about how you're supposed to spell
it. No one did a couple hundred years ago.
Sean said that, and I've said this so many times in the podcast, I love it. Sean said that to, I'm not going to say the person. Sean said that to someone at the school that I went to, that Jacob doesn't misspell words. He spells them the way that they sound to him. Or it's something to that effect.
Yeah, it's that you don't know, you might not know the way you spell a word.
Yes, yes.
And I can spell a word 100 different ways.
Yeah, Jacob can spell, but he doesn't spell the way that you want him to that effect. And that did not make people happy. No. And that was when him and I got really close as friends, because it was like, I didn't know that that's how I thought, but I was like, yeah, it's exactly how I feel.
Because I'm the same
way. Was that when you had him as a teacher?
Yeah, I mean,
I was part of the faculty, and so, like, the other faculty would talk.
And I was evaluated at one point.
This is a trouble student because the student can't complete the requirements.
And I was evaluated as a member of the School of Comm.
That's a movie right there.
Yeah, I don't want to get, because I loved.
Yeah, I mean,
They
listened to me.
Yeah.
But it was hard for them to kind of get that in their head.
It was
they
tense.
Hadn't done that.
It was a tense situation where
I would love to.
I could have not gotten through the program if it wasn't for Sean and other supportive. There was a math professor who I talk about who I can't remember his name. There were some other people that were very supportive of that same thing of like, wait, hold on, who are you talking about? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, next episode, we should actually talk about that more in depth, actually.
I don't want to. But
we did that.
Okay.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
Cool, okay.
Just because those people
were
still
the first person to do it.
Yeah. Those people were still in academia, and they did a very good job.
And they're great people.
Yeah.
It's just, it was like hard for them to get their head wrapped around it. And so I had to like explain it to them in a way that they could grasp it, and so.
And was relatively.
Thankfully, I'm dyslexic, so I was able to say things in different ways, and so it finally clicked.
And it was
so
helpful.
Yeah,
and it was relatively, I don't know the right word, firm. It was.
Yeah.
Sean came in with a lot of like, not I think this is what's going on. It's a no.
This
guy,
is how it works.
Yeah, this is how it works, and this guy is competent. And that was, you know, the Pepsi Challenge that we talked about.
It's
a whole thing.
No one knows what Pepsi Challenge is anymore. But like, I was like, I'll do a Pepsi Challenge to any communication major, public speaking.
Yep.
Put him up, just give him a topic.
Yep.
He'll talk, and he'll sound good.
Yep.
I was like, he should be a graduate. And they're like, you're right.
Yep. And it was, I can't spell.
We still have that sudden death policy, we need to get rid of it.
Yep.
But anyway.
Anyway, I think, this was fun.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do this more often. It's Derby Day, so let's go bet on
Derby.
Some horses.
Let's have a party.
Maybe let's have a party. Let's go learn.
Food.
Let's go use your.
We're gonna
grill.
Make a vlog.
Your grill
for the first time. Actually,
we'll make R2D2
awesome.
Jokes. Yeah,
that thing is really cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyway,
well,
thank you guys. Thank you guys as well. Yep.
Thanks for having us.
Happy Derby.
Yeah.
Happy Derby Day.
Happy Derby.
Let's go bet on some horses.
There should
let's
be like a common greeting for Derby.
Happy Derby Day. That's
well, people say
day.
Happy Derby,
happy
but
Derby.
I think it should
around
be.
Around the neighborhood.
That's what we have to about.
Dappy Derby Day.
Yeah.
I think it's also Derby's morning.
Dapper Derby Day.
Dapper Derby Day.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Dyslexics Untied. New episodes every Saturday wherever you get your podcasts. Also, catch us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.